My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Let's get this thing rolling. Here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. I'm fired up. The Miami Heat won last night. We are contributors over there at the Five Reasons Sports Network. It was a bundle of joy watching them beat the Wizards. I am being facetious. The Wizards are horrible.
That was so bad. Any other good team, we would have lost by 15.
Yeah, the quality of basketball that was played in that first half was just outrageously bad. And like, you would look down at the score and you're like, how are they up by 10? How are they up by 11? It just...
Right.
It was so bad. It just kept snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. But yeah, so I wanted to let the audience know, we're going to start broadcasting from this... just behind the scenes, peek back behind the curtain a little bit. We're going to start broadcasting from our playback room, which is playback.tv/hoopsprofile. Hopefully we can get into the program to take 20 of the audience with us to break down prospects during March Madness. So I think that would be a good time for everybody involved. You'll kind of get to see what we're looking at and what I'm looking at in real time. And if Matt decides to join, what he's looking at in real time at these prospects. And I think that would be a good peek behind the curtain for our fans and audience. What do you think about that, Matt?
Heck yeah, man.
Absolutely. Today, we're here to talk about the top 10 point guards in the 2025 NBA draft. Steve Fine on YouTube says he is a fan of the Wizards. So my condolences for your loss, Steve. The Wizards are bad. They have a good crop of young talent. Sar had a miserable game, probably the worst game I've seen him play as a pro. I mean, his game last night was awful. But they do have a nice crop of young talent. My guy, Bilal Coulibaly, Bub Carrington, Alex Sar, AJ Johnson, who got some run and had a really tough bucket and layup. I think he's going to be dynamite. Once he gets some weight on him in a couple of years. Stephen Fine says in 2 to 3 years, they'll be good. Here's the hoping, man. Here's the hoping. But we're here to talk about the top 10 point guards in the 2025 NBA draft. We want anybody that's out there to comment on this list. If you think it should be different, let me know in the comments down below. Tweet at Matt. He loves the engagement on Twitter. You can tweet at me under Digital Adele, but that's only if you know math. Can you find his handle on Twitter? It's the Pythagorean theorem. Mm-hmm. The people where they can find you, Matt.
At NPH_824_. That's where you can find me at on Twitter.
That's right.
Multiple other places. But yes,
if you don't use the FOIL method to figure out what that means, that's on you.
PEMDAS, kids. PEMDAS.
So let's get this thing started. We're talking point guards. Let's start by defining what we mean. A point guard is a unicorn position, so I'm not going to hold you to exactly, you know, does he facilitate first? Is he the brain of the offense? Like, I'm not going to hold you to that stuff. Primary ball handler, primary facilitator, does point guard-like things. He doesn't have to be an exact fit because they're a rare breed these days. So we'll start with you, Matt. Who do you have atop your list as the best point guard in the 2025 NBA draft?
The number two overall prospect in this class, Dylan Harper.
Shocking.
Yeah, very shocking. I didn't have Jaeger Demean.
That's right.
My number one point guard. No. Dylan's been exceptional all season. Again, we've talked about it. Like, he's not like a perfect playmaker by any means, but he's been, I think, just for a freshman.
Right.
He's been exceptional, especially with the talent that's been around him. Like, he's averaging nearly 5 assists per 36 minutes. In addition to, you know, 22 points, he's carried a lot of that load offensively this year. And he, like, just him, his craftiness, being able to get to the rim, him being able to finish around the rim with some of his craftiness. Like, yeah, the shot isn't perfect. The pull-up shooting, like you and I, we've talked about, we have concerns about that. But the thing that also, like, makes him a number two prospect is his defense. Like, he's an exceptional point of attack defender. He's big, he's physical, 6'5", 6'6", 220. Like, he already has, like, an NBA-ish, like, ready body. And he's just only going to continue to get better at being 19 years old on draft night. And so I think just from what he can do, his size, his guard skills, his rebounding is something that's also something, like, that stuck out to me from the very beginning of the season, how good of a rebounder he is for his position. Just all of those traits. Yeah, while we still have questions, I think he's the clear number one.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. And I want to add something to what you said. Not only is it all the facilitating that he does at 6'6", and the ability to get into the lane, the ability to handle, but he's a two-way point guard. It's not like he's getting roasted on the other end of the floor. He's a big, long, linear athlete that can get low in a stance and defend. So he's going to be your point of attack defense. He's going to be able to play the passing lanes. He's going to be able to rebound. He does a little bit of everything for you. So to me, Harper is a clear number one point guard in this class. In fact, it isn't particularly close. Like, as much as I love the other names in this class, I don't think it's actually close that he's the number one. The rest is going to be a little bit of debatable, especially as we get into the, like, five spot, four spot. But number one, he's on a tier of his own, complete tier of his own. Ian chimes in from YouTube. He says, "What's good, fam? What up, E? How you doing today, man? Glad to see you. I appreciate you stopping by the show. For those that are out there, don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. Come join us on playback.tv/hoopsprofile as well. I'm glad to hear it, E. I'm glad things are going well for you. We can't complain. Nobody would care anyway. Number two, early in the season, Jaeger Demean was like the big name, like early in preseason, and he was looking good against these weaker teams. And honestly, Kasparis Giakchonis to me has separated himself from everybody else. And technically, he could be not only your point guard, he could be your scoring guard. He could be a wing guy. He can fill multiple roles if you needed him to be. I would have no truck watching Kasparis Giakchonis direct and run your offense. He does a lot of that already at 19 years old for Illinois, and his facilitating is better than people typically give him credit for. His rebounding relative to his position is outstanding. That physical NBA body and wingspan that he has already, great free throw shooter. I think he'll be a better 3-point shooter in the NBA than he is in college, because he's going to have a little bit more talent around him. And his ability to finish at the rim, 46% field goal percentage is just outstanding. His effective field goal percentage is 54.2%. So I think he's going to be terrific. And he's another two-way player. His defense is way better than I think casual fans are going to expect from a guy from Europe. He's a good point of attack defender. He's tough. He fights on switches. He defends the post well as also. What are your thoughts about Kasper Schakaciotis being the clear number two point guard in this on this list?
He is the clear number two because I thought you were going to go to me for number three, and I struggled with three. We'll get to that when we get okay. to that. But Schakaciotis to me is like, for a while, he was in the 3-4-5 range. I mean, he still is.
Right. He hasn't gone anywhere. In the
3-4-5 range for my board. I know I think at one point I did have him three, and then as the season's gone on, I've put a couple other guys above him, not because he's been bad, it's just other players have been good. But, you know, he's the clear number. He's the clear number two. It's not even a discussion. Everything that you just said, to a lesser extent than Harper, like he does a little bit of everything for you,
right?
On both ends of the floor, he's the leader for one of the best teams in the Big Ten, which I think is something that is also worth mentioning. Like he has that very good like pick and pop game with Vucic. He doesn't need to I know he kind of shares the backcourt with Boswell, and so they sometimes take turns, like, you know, handling responsibility. And so, like, there's been times where Kasper's has had to play off ball, but like just the physical nature of him, the physicality that he provides when he, you know, even when he's trying to get to the rim, or him, right, you know, playing point of attack defense, or him on the glass, like, yeah, the shooting has been a little bit weird this season. I expect that to get better over time. That's not something I'm at all worried about. Again, he's still, right, you know, 18 years old, going to be 19 on draft night. Like, he's still very, very young, but yet he can do all of these things like Harper, all the little things that matter. And that's why I think he's a top five pick. No question.
Absolutely. I can't agree with you more. As you mentioned, this third pick is going to be a little bit interesting because it could be Nolan Torre. It could be Jeremiah Fears. It could be LeBaron Filon. It could be, I mean, I don't think Jaeger is even in the discussion. But I also have Ben Sarif right there. Ben Sarif, for me, I've watched probably seven of his games. And the only, but here's the thing. Let me back up a bit. Outside of the top two point guards in this class, the 3-point shooting is horrendous. Horrendous. And in today's NBA, that's tough to take a player that high if you can't shoot the three ball. And none of these guys really shoot it well. Fears might be the guy, him and Filon might be the two guys that, well, let me take that back. Him, Filon, and Denman probably have the best form to start with. Like, if you have a base of where you want to start, the actual shooting form isn't terrible for those three guys. Boogie Fland as well. Boogie Fland, I would say, is probably the best shooter out of all those guys from three. But he hurt his hand, so he's going to fall down the board.
There's one guy that you didn't mention that I thought about putting three.
I'm very interested in this one. Who do you have at three?
Or I don't have him at three, but I thought about
that you're considering. Who do you have considering at three?
Jace.
Oh, Jace, is he? But so here's the problem.
I think he is.
No, I get that. But this is what I want to preface. In college, he hasn't been a point guard. Right? That's like, they true. Haven't used him that way. Can he do it at the next level? Absolutely, I think he can. And that's going to be a conversation that we can have. But Ben Sarif is a point guard already, and he's doing it in a professional league in Europe. And he gets to the whim, to the whim. He gets to the rim at will. On a whim. No. He gets to the rim at will. And he's dynamite in transition. He's got a nice little 15-foot pull-up jumper. His problem is he gets really off balance when he shoots anything outside of a 15-footer. Anything out of 15-footers, he fades away to the right or fades back. And I don't know why he does it, because he's 6'5 and he's 200 pounds. It's not like he has to do it. So that's the one knock I have on Ben Seraph, but he is, for those physical traits, to be 6'5", 200 pounds, and to average the amount of assists that he averaged, the way he runs the offense over there, the physical nature of play in that European league, I just think he's going to be dynamite, man. I think he's going to be a steal. He's shooting 46%, almost 47% from the field, 70% from the free throw line, 4.5, almost 5 assists per game, steal a game. Doesn't really turn it over a lot either. So I think number 3 for me is probably going to be Ben Seraph right this minute. And I know it's going to be controversial. A lot of people are going to think Jeremiah Fears should be over Ben Seraph or Jaeger Denman. I don't see that at all. I think Ben Seraph, you know, he's an exciting young guy, especially at that size.
Oh, he I also currently defends. Have, because again, I haven't watched him yet.
Right.
But I have, I have Fears at 3. That's my,
okay. Talk to me about Jeremiah Fears.
Again, I don't love, if I'm being completely honest. Well, this will probably be a discussion for another day when we just compare like how deep each position is in this draft. I don't love the depth in this position. And so like
in the first round, there's definitely some second round talent there.
For sure, but like just like I think the point guard position is very top heavy with those two guys is what I like what I'm trying to get at.
I agree. I can agree with that. There's a big gap
right
between Harper, Jakachonis, and the rest of the class.
But again, like I think Fears like can be good. It's just that he's more raw.
He's very raw. Yep.
Like, and again, he's raw, but he's still averaging 16-4, which is pretty impressive. But
it is.
There's still some wars with the three-point shooting, with the physicality, even sometimes with the defense. Like, there have been times where I've watched him where it's like, he'll lock in for a couple possessions defensively, and it's just like, ooh, someone at that size, like, that's very intriguing. But then, like, there's some inconsistencies there, and those are just the questions. And I think that's the lump. Those are the lumps that you have with an 18-year-old freshman guard right. who's trying to lead a team. But those are, again, those are still lumps. Like he'll have to fine tooth that at the next level. I'm not saying he can't, he absolutely can.
Right.
But he has like, again, he's also like, we'll have to get stronger as well. And learn how to play with more physicality and this, that, and the other, which isn't an uncommon thing for any freshman, let alone a freshman guard.
I want to talk about that real quick. Let's pause on the physicality part. One thing he's done better lately is finish through contact. Mm-hmm. However, I've noticed that the way he goes about finishing through contact is to cup the ball, put his head down, and Euro step and try to Euro step his way through contact. And it doesn't really work all the time, especially later in games when the defense is walling off against you. So to me, even though he's finishing better, he still hasn't really figured out how to navigate in traffic without a preset move. Like his move is just preset once he gets down there. And that's going to come back to bite him, especially at the next level. You compare him to a guy like Jace Richardson, for example. And I think he's more nuanced once he gets around the basket than Fears is already. So for me, I don't think I could put Fears third over Jace Richardson, because I have Jace Richardson fourth on my list. And well, we talked about, is he really a point guard?
I have him fourth too.
So yeah, I would put Jace Richardson fourth on my list. And Jace is what, 6'3"?
Yeah.
200 and some odd pounds. He, in that Michigan State system, he doesn't really get on ball a lot. He doesn't really have a lot of freedom to create. But when he gets out on the break or whenever they need buckets, they go to him.
Yeah.
This last game I was watching, he had one assist with 10 minutes to go in the game because he was in foul trouble a lot in that game. Comes in the game down the stretch. Every big bucket and possession they needed, they went to him in the pick and roll, and he created out of it every single time. He could turn the corner, get in the lane. For a rookie, he didn't panic. whenever they walled him off and double teamed him, and he threw assist after assist after assist. Ended up with like 6 assists or something like that, 7 assists to end the game. And that's after not playing much in the first half. So can he be a facilitator and be your point guard? I think he could at the next level. And so that's why I would have him 4th, and I would actually have Fears 5th. Because Fears, at the same age and the same size in a comparable conference, that's in style and, you know, play, there's a younger guard that's doing those same things, but I think a little bit better.
I wonder how this is, like, this is a hypothetical. I wonder how different Fears' season would have been if he was playing in a complimentary role like that.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
And I,
he can't
not
really play off ball like
what
that,
Jace
though.
Is doing right now, but I would just be very curious to see how that, because it's like he was kind of thrust into this role,
right,
on an Oklahoma team that I don't think they were projected to finish very high in the big. Not that they are right now at all, anyway. But
right,
like, and then he obviously, you know, bursts onto the scene. He starts breaking big boards because he's just flying up them, because he was kind of this diamond in the rough at the beginning of the season. And then conference play comes. The stats are there, the numbers are there, but the traits and whatnot aren't. And then he's starting to finally figure it out. While it's not perfect as time goes on.
If we're classifying Jace as a point guard,
like, you put, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, if we're classifying him as a point guard, I might actually put him above Seraph and move him to 3. It might go Jace, Seraph, Fears in that order for me.
And I think, do you think that there's a big gap between them? Because you've seen Seraph?
Between Jace and Seraph?
Just all 3 of them.
I think there's a gap between Jace and Seraph. I don't think there's a huge gap between Seraph, Fears, and whoever else we would put next. Probably Traore after that. Or that's a question we're going to have later. Would you put Traore over Denman? Like, because Denman's just been bad.
I'll be honest. I didn't have Denman on my list. Because
he's bad.
The preface of this was watch out, like top 10 point guards, obviously, but to watch out for in the 2025 draft. I don't think Denman's coming out.
Oh, wow. You think he goes back to school?
I think he's been bad enough to where he needs to go back.
I agree. He's been really bad. In fact, like when you watch that team play, he doesn't even stand out as the best player on that team.
Catchings is.
That's it. I was going to say, Kanan Catchings ends up catching your, no pun intended, catching your eye more than Denman. So, yeah, man, this is my thing with Jace. And this cannot be understated. Izzo does not tolerate mistakes. Izzo doesn't let you turn the ball over. The kid doesn't turn it over. He averages less than 1 turnover per game. He's only averaging 2 assists per game. But recently, in his last like 5 to 10 games, he's been racking up the assist. But he shoots 87% from the free throw line and 39% from the 3-point line. But it's on low volume, like 2.5 threes per game. So he's the only point guard outside of the Jokićonises and Harpers that can really shoot the 3 ball. Him and Boogie Fland. That's got to carry weight in this modern NBA. It's got to carry weight.
Yeah.
So that's why I think I'd move Jace up.
Yeah, I have, see, for my 3, 4, and 5, I mean, we could get to 5 now as like a segue. But I have Fears, Jace, and then Filon. That's my 5th.
Okay, I like that. Fears, Jason, and Filon.
And it's not a big gap.
Right.
Like, if any gap. Like, they're all kind of lumped together in a similar tier for me.
Right.
I have Traore 6. I've seen a little bit of him, not enough to give you like a crazy
good
so evaluation.
Little he looks, they got him listed as 6'3, but he looks so much smaller than 6'3. He's 175 pounds.
Yeah, man, like we had this discussion with Rob last year. He's so tantalizing with what he could do with the ball in his hands, but like if you're my size, no bueno, dude.
Well, right. Well, you got to be like, you have to have special traits. you have to be the quickest person in the NBA. Right? Like, you got to be the quickest person in the NBA at that size.
And you have to be, you have to play a lot stronger than you are.
Correct. You have to play a lot stronger than you actually are. The one thing that gives me pause, I need to dig into him more. I need to watch more of his film. The 7.5 assists. Like, I really want to see how he gets those assists. Like, is that something that's going to be able to translate in the NBA? Because if he can do that, well, but see, the lack of 3-point shooting is his undoing. Also, I need to check out this Sergio Della Ria. He's 6'6", 198 pounds, and he also averages like
8 assists a game.
Yeah, well, not
8 assists a game while shooting 45% from deep on low volume.
Yeah, yeah.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
Like, it's just, it's an interesting amount of stats. Even his true shooting percentage and effective field goal percentage and all that is really, really good and intriguing. I gotta watch him. I gotta watch him more. I tried to watch, so last night, right? Like, just something to shut off my brain. I turned on the NBL. I was trying to watch Rocco Zorski, whatever, and Alex O'Toole. Dude, I couldn't even find them. I turned on the game. They weren't playing. I don't understand. Like, he'd never play. That's like Hugo Gonzalez. Hugo Gonzalez, I've watched 6 games. He's played like 10 minutes in 6 games. Like, I can't. How do I evaluate that? I can't go to these practices. I'm not flying to Europe to watch this guy practice. Like, I can't evaluate that.
We got to book a May trip. Do they play in May? We got to book a May trip to Spain.
To Spain. That's right.
Or wherever he's playing.
I'm going to have to renew my passport. But all right. So LeBaron Filon, we haven't talked about him. The one thing that's holding me back on Filon, and it has nothing to do with his play, because he outplayed fears when they played head to head earlier in the season. I like his intensity. I like his defense. I like his ability to facilitate. He needs to get better at shooting the 3-ball. But his role is a secondary off-the-bench role, and it's a much smaller role than all these guys.
Yeah.
And I personally would just like to see what he looks like in a bigger role and more responsibility. Right. But those are all just unknowns at this point. It's just guessing and projection. What's wrong?
We get to watch him next to Mark Sears. Don't you love that?
I mean, I like Mark Sears, but let me tell you something. Mark Sears and Caleb Love have never seen a shot they didn't like, ever. Like, those dudes will just chuck shots from anywhere at any time.
Well, the thing with Mark is, like, we talked about Badu Thiro with, like, Bull in the China Shop.
Right.
That's just Mark, but a much smaller, more compact.
But he'll also shoot the 3 from 25, 28 feet.
Like, he will, but when he's getting to the lane, incredibly, incredibly physical.
incredibly physical. Yeah, he's a bulldog of a guard.
I like him too, but I
mean, 36% from the 3-point line isn't bad. Shoots 7 of them a game. He's 85% from the 3-point line or free throw line. But the problem is he shoots 28 footers like freaking Trae Young. Yeah. Like 7 to 8 3-pointers is a lot. It's a lot.
They also play at like a very frantic pace. It's like,
right.
Like chaos, but controlled chaos.
Controlled chaos, like, for sure. Yeah.
And he's like a big part of why they do. And it works. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't work. For them, it works. But like, yeah, he, it's a lot of threes.
It's a lot of threes.
In 40 minutes.
He never comes off the floor. Right. He never comes off the floor.
Right. Yeah.
The thing about Filon, the 3-point shooting is worrisome because, again, it's only 30% from three. He's listed at 6'4". If I had to pick Filon over Boogie Fland, would I do it?
Ooh.
I don't think I would.
The more I think about it, it's just like, I think because we had this, well, I don't think it was last week. It was a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the possibility of Boogie going back to school.
Right.
And I was just like, oh man, like the more I think about it, the more I actually lean where he may. But I don't know because it's like, I don't know how teams evaluate him.
We'll know more
how many
later
games
in the process.
10 to 15?
Like, yeah, wasn't a lot.
It's not a big sample, but it's like, it's big enough to where it's not like, you know, like James Wiseman where he plays like 2 seconds and then he's just
right.
Like, yep, number two pick.
He's also like incredibly small.
Yeah. I love Boogie, but one of the things I had in my notes from earlier in the year was like, he's not a 3-level scorer yet.
Yet. He makes tough twos. He makes tough threes.
Yeah.
I mean, he shot 37% from three, but around the rim, and he doesn't have a chance to show growth because he got hurt. Like, that's the thing that hurts him. I mean, the 84% from the free throw line, great. It's almost 6 assists per game, great. Less than a turnover, like a turnover and a half per game, outstanding. Outstanding defense as well. He's a thief. I like Boogie Fland. Even though he's small, he has broad shoulders and long arms and big hands, I assume, based on TV. But they list him at 6'2 and he's 170 pounds. I don't know. I still don't think I could put... man, I like Boogie a lot, man. I like Boogie a lot.
I have Filon over Boogie in my... As I mentioned, the 3, 4, 5, I have Boogie 7.
Who do you have 6?
Troy.
Okay, Troy. I could see that. I can see it. That could be enough to push him to go back to school. It could.
Yeah, it's just... It, as we've talked about before, with not just him, but all of these guys, it just depends on what they're... like the intel they get. I wonder if Boogie will be a guy that play, like, if he's healthy enough. I don't know the status of his injury specifically, but like if he's healthy enough to play at the combine.
Yeah, I wonder that would be very interesting.
Yeah, like I wonder if that's something that he opts to do. Because I mean, I obviously imagine he's gonna test the waters, but
right.
And that's you know at the combine, all that stuff. When he will get his intel from whomever.
Well, Coach Cal is notorious for telling players, you need to just go to the NBA. Like,
right.
So exactly. If he's ready and Cal thinks he's ready, Cal's going to tell him.
Yeah. But I wonder if he's someone who, like, plays at the combine. Is like, okay, I need to rehabilitate some of my value.
Boogie Fland or Rob Dillingham?
Boogie.
I think he needs to go.
To the NBA or back to school?
To the NBA, if he's better than Rob Dillingham.
I'm looking, Boogie would be, he's still going to be 19, he's still going to be 18 on draft night. He doesn't turn right. 19 until July.
He's super young, dude, super young.
And he's bigger than Rob is.
Of course, almost everybody's bigger than Rob.
Correct, but like that... that helps tip the scale for me. Like, yeah, he may not be as skilled with the ball.
Literally handling. Tips the scale.
Yeah, like.
Who do you have at the to round out your list?
This I went a couple of deep cuts here. I thought about putting Proctor on this list, but I don't think he's a point guard.
I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think he's a point guard.
I think he's a combo complementary guard at the next level. I think right. There are instances where he may be tasked to initiate, but it's not enough to be a point guard.
Right.
I had one of your guys on here who, again, I've watched briefly, but when I have watched him, I have liked him. Xavien Lee.
That's my guy. You hit the nail on the head with that. Xavien Lee, man. He is outstanding in terms of his ability to shoot the three ball, unlimited range, and he plays in an offense where he doesn't really get to show you a lot of his playmaking and facilitating chops until the end of the game.
Yeah.
They run that motion offense the entire game, right?
Yeah.
They're losing and they're like, okay, Xavien, go get us buckets. And they just hand him the ball and let him work. So I would love to see him in a pro style offense and the ability to have that freedom of movement, the ability for him to still, you know, have a field goal percentage, an effective field goal percentage, you know, above 50 is outstanding. For his size, he's only 180 pounds. He rebounds really, really well. You know, almost 6 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game. I think he's incredibly smart, not just because he goes to Princeton, but how he plays basketball in the offense. I don't think you are far off of what you're looking for when you're that deep into the list.
Yeah, and then. 9, my guy, Donovan Dent.
You have Donovan Dent over Mark
Sears. I don't
think
he's
going to
be an undrafted guy, but like he's averaging 20-6 for a New Mexico team that's going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
2.5 assist to turnover ratio. Like He apparently, according to maybe he may not qualify for this because College Basketball Reference again has him as a forward for no apparent reason. but like he's been so good this year. Like I don't think he's going to win the Conference Player of the Year.
Right,
but he's certainly in the running for it.
I'm gonna have to watch some Donovan Dent tape just to catch up.
He's just small.
Yeah,
he's really like
you think he's small. You should check out that Merrimack guard I was telling you about.
I mean 6'2", 170. Like
just check out the Merrimack guard and get back to me. You'll see what I'm talking about.
But like the thing with Donovan is like, despite his size, he's shooting 49% from the floor. He's upped his three-point volume just a little bit this year. He's been a lot more efficient at the free throw line on nearly twice as many attempts. Like he's shooting around 79-80% on 6.5 attempts from the free throw line this year. He's shooting 36% on just 2 threes. Like he's someone who doesn't shoot a lot of threes. They'll sometimes give him space, but like he can knock them down when he's open. But he's such a crafty playmaker. Like he's not. I know I'm going to make this comparison because it was the same conference. Obviously, we watched this guy a lot. It's not Isaiah Stevens.
I was just thinking that.
It's not Isaiah Stevens, but like I remember him getting buzzed last year. I know he wasn't in a lead guard role last year because they had a couple other guys, Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn. But like this
Jamal
Mashburn Jr.
Okay.
He's at Temple and he's averaging. You want to talk about someone who's never seen a shot he doesn't like.
Jamal Mashburn Jr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm trying to think of like where my train of thought was going. But like he's such a like I think Donovan's an excellent playmaker. And I think he's someone who can help his draft stock, whether it goes from however far up he flies on the undrafted boards.
Mm-hmm.
Or late second round if someone wants to take a stab at it. Like,
who do you have 10th?
Huh?
Who do you have number 10?
Walter Clayton Jr.
So Florida guard Walton Clayton Jr. over Mark Sears.
I think I think isn't Walter a little bit bigger?
He is, yeah.
He is.
He's 6'3", 22 years old, so slightly younger. Mark Sears.
Yeah.
195 pounds.
I struggled with this last spot, though, because I don't know if Clayton's a true point guard.
I thought
he was just the best available guy, but like I don't think he's a true point guard. I don't even know if, like, another guy that I thought about putting on here was Kadari
Richmond.
Yeah,
he's definitely not a point guard, but he can facilitate. He can run your offense. I'm back and forth with Kadari. I loved Kadari when I first saw him, but I wanted to see some growth defensively. If he makes a team, he's going to make it because of his defense. Kadari's defense is tough. Like, he's a great on-ball defender, great in the passing lanes, really tough. Offensively, he's a limited athlete. Like, he's not super quick. He's not doesn't jump high at all, like slide a piece of paper under his vertical. But he's got long arms, really crafty, can really handle the ball really well. I can see it. I can see Kadari.
He's just so old.
He's been in school forever. Yeah, he's been in school forever.
But he's a bulldog.
He's definitely a bulldog.
Is he the best shot blocking guard in this class?
Ooh.
Outside of VJ? If you want to lump VJ in there?
I mean, because Edgecombe's not a point guard, though.
I'm just saying guard in general.
The best shot blocking guard. That's a great question. Kadari. So let's just count them up, right? We got Kadari, we got Edgecombe, we got Harper.
I'm looking down the list, and I don't know who else.
Miles Bird.
Yep, that's definitely one of them.
Tucker
DeVries.
Yeah, whatever freak his name is, from West Virginia.
They say he's a guard on Tankathon. I don't think he's a guard.
Right. But I'd have to give it. I would have to give it to either Kadari, because KJ Lewis isn't a guard either. He's a wing. Like, he's a
really wing. I think KJ's a guard.
I guess.
Dude, have you seen his 3-point percentage?
No. What is it? Abysmal?
It's fallen off a cliff.
Oh my God.
It was at like 38% last year or something like that, and it's at like 17 this year.
Holy crap, dude. He's going to have to go back to school for another year.
He was someone who I like briefly talked about with you like early in the season. I was like, I kind of like this guy in like a, you know, complimentary role, good defender.
Right.
But like,
he might have to go back for another year.
Yeah, that 3-point percentage, man. That.
All right, here's who I'll give it to. Either Miles Bird, Kadari Richmond, or who's the other guy?
VJ.
VJ. Yeah. It's one of those.
I think it's one of those three, too. I just want
it's one of those three. It's a great question. I think VJ is the most athletic out of those three. Oh, I think Kadari is the best defender out of those three.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty tough.
Yeah,
Kadari's, I think I would go VJ's the best, though.
VJ's just the most athletic to me. Like, have you seen Kadari's defensive box plus minus?
Right. No, I mean, it's not a big gap between either three, like any of the three, but I just think like the traits that VJ has with his instincts. Not that they don't have instincts, but like,
dude, Kadari's tough. Like, VJ's just so athletic. Like, he's just unbelievably athletic, but like, his defensive box plus minus isn't even close to Kadari's. Not even close. Like, VJ's a 4.4, Kadari's a 6.6.
I'm putting not too much stock into it, but I think athleticism plays a part in my decision, though.
I think it is the wow factor of it all.
Just like, I know he doesn't have the numbers necessarily, but
Kadari's arms are so long, dude, and he's so wiry strong that, like, he gets deflections, he gets steals, he gets blocks.
I have to think about that a little bit more.
Like, obviously the upside is VJ. But let's preface this for people that may have just walked into the room, may have skipped ahead in the podcast. We're not saying Kadari is as good or talented as Vijay Anchukwu. We're not.
Yes,
saying.
We are. No, I'm just kidding.
Defensively, over a long, let me just preface this again, a long career, Kadari Richmond has honed his defensive skills, and he is masterful in his positioning and his technique at almost 24 years old. And he's 6'5". That's the other thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Kadari. He just has limited upside. He is who he is at this point, in my opinion. Vijay has all the upside. I would love Kadari Richmond in Sioux Falls. If you could get Kadari Richmond in Sioux Falls, sign me up.
Sioux Falls has struggled at the point of attack this entire year. So
doesn't bode well for Isaiah Stevens.
Yeah, who's been even when Stevens is on the floor, sometimes it's still.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's also tiny. Stevens is also tiny. Kadari's 6'5". Arms that touch like sideline to sideline.
He feels like a guy that they would target, though.
Absolutely. He's 100%. A Miami Heat type of guy. 100%. Absolutely. But yeah, man, that's all I have for the point guards. I really am actually super interested in this Sergio. I'm really interested in watching his tape. I have not had an opportunity to do it. Maybe I'll do that. I was going to watch Traore's tape this week, but maybe I should watch his instead.
When I was doing this brain exercise, another player I thought about putting on here, but didn't, just because I don't think he's an actual point guard, even though I think he can do it, is Cam Jones.
Oh, yeah. Cam Jones came to my mind when we were talking about players that should or shouldn't be on this list. We started talking about Jace Richardson, for example. Cam Jones is going to be a very good player. I mean, I can see him going anywhere from 18 to 25. Like, I don't see Cam falling into the second round at all. He's too good of an accomplished scorer with too much size. His draft age is what keeps him out of the, you know, top 15.
Yeah.
Area,
but he's so good, dude.
His 3-point percentage has really struggled this season, which is an anomaly. It's kind of odd. It could
it
be
has.
Also because
I think
he doesn't
it's somewhat to do with his role, but
because he's so much on ball, yeah,
yeah. But that's like, he's just so much fun to watch.
He is, and it at 6'5", you know, being able to finish around the rim the way he does. The ability to facilitate the way he does, and he doesn't turn the ball over either. Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's going to be able to help a team right away next NBA season.
A team that lands him at the end of the first round, if that's where he goes.
Yeah, they're going to be
likely going to be a good team. That's going to be like a day one, like.
Right. Gets playing time right off the bat. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be a good fit for sure. One thing about Clayton before we get out of here, I really like his form. I know he only shoots 37% from three. I think in a more open NBA style offense, I think he could pop in that way because I think he has beautiful form. He's always on balance, the elbows in, follows through high. You know who he actually reminds me of a little bit? A better version of Isaiah Poulin. Or not, it's not
who,
Isaiah.
Who?
A Poulin. Zion Poulin.
Zion Poulin.
Yeah.
Same school.
Same school. He reminds me of him a little bit in the way that he searches for a shot coming off the pick and roll. But I just think he has a better looking J. Like, his shot is pure. Like, he's got a beautiful J. But that's really it, man. Do you have anything else before we end today's show?
I don't. Again, I don't love this, the depth of this after... Right. Harper and Kasperis for this position specifically. But yeah, those are some names. Well, some names that we didn't mention. Jalen Lowe, Mark Sears.
He's having an awful season. He's from the University of Pittsburgh. He's having a terrible season. Yes. 3-point shooting, awful. Finishing at the rim, awful. He's having a terrible season.
Again, those are just some names that we didn't mention, among others. Were there any names that you thought about putting that didn't make your final cut?
There weren't really any names because you start getting into the shooting guard category, right? Like,
yeah.
And so I was trying to stay away from that. Now, do we want to go linear and bounce into shooting guards next episode, or do you want to go opposite and talk centers? Which
it doesn't matter, man.
Position group you want to do?
I'm good either way. We can do.
Let's do centers. Let's be different. Let's not give them what they would expect. We are going to go centers next podcast, y'all. We're going to talk.
So I got to talk about Kalkbrenner. All right.
Yeah, he's your number one. Spoiler alert.
He's my number one.
Spoiler alert. But yeah, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, Matt.
You can find me at MPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hot.hoops.com. You can find me at vendettasportsmedia.com. You can find me at mountainmustconnection.com. Well, I will be writing about Donovan Dent. And I have this season already. Among other players like Nick Clifford, who we'll get to in another episode. A lot of different places, man. As well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/hoopsprofile, which we are on right now. Right now.
Right now. Tell your friends. Come join us. Speaking of that, we can get into that program with Playback where we can watch some of the NCAA tournament games here with 20 lucky room attendees, VIPs throughout that time. But I'll let you know closer to the NCAA tournament once I get word if we're going to be able to be, you know, have access to that. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me anywhere social media is found, on Twitter, on Blue Sky, Instagram. Again, like Matt said, you can find us on Hoops Profile, playback.tv/hoopsprofile, playback.tv/5RSN, and on YouTube at Hoops Profile. I'll see you guys next time.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.